Come on, now soft it to me, sing me a song. Let's keep the music grooving, we're going strong. Come on,
well, the weekend is always more interesting whether you're home or on the road. I'm Brad Crandall here. Senator Everett Dirksen enjoys needling presidents. You'll hear how he does it shortly when Molitor's guest is the author of a new book on the mellifluous minority leader.
Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. I'll never know the hardships you've been through. Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. Better write my songs about the things you do.
Dig in the dark, you search for the light. Perhaps you've been a troubled man. But I was born lucky when troubles arise. The one kept on will never pass through my hands.
Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. I'll never know.
In my emotion circle, we always complain. We're never satisfied with what we've got. But we've been chosen by millions in the rain. Makes you the man I'll ever be, and I'm not.
Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. I'll never know the hardships you've been through.
Hey, hey,
hey.
I hope you forgive me when I try to say or sing what your life's all about. But if I really could, I'd help you some way. So I'm on the inside looking out.
Hey, mister, I know nothing about you. I'll never know.
Four Jacks and a Jill on Monitor. Among those returned to the U.S. Senate in the recent election is Everett McKinley Dirksen, whose two unmistakable trademarks, his wavy hair and full-flowered oratory, make him one of the most colorful minority leaders of all time. Among his nicknames is this one, the Wizard of Ooze. A new book affords an interesting close-up of the flamboyant senator from Illinois. It's titled Dirksen, the Golden Voice of the Senate. And its author, Annette Penny, longtime Washington reporter, tells Monitor reporter Betty Grobley what Senator Dirksen is really like.
Annette, did he deliberately develop this type of delivery that he has?
No, I think that is a natural attribute, Betty, because, of course, you know, he has been an actor most of his life, ever since he was in high school. And I think that, of course, his voice itself is a natural quality. And as I mentioned in my book, he, of all people, would not pass the oratorical tests simply because he is delightfully corny. His voice is rasping. But from him, it goes over like $1 million.
On him, it
it's
looks
just
good.
On him, it looks good, yes.
What are some of the, you call them, Dirksenisms that you've included?
There's two or three of them that I would like to point to, and one is he is very fond of tweaking the nose, so to speak, of the President of the United States. And he was hospitalized February 1966, and he was unable to, of course, be at this particular, hearing for a certain bill that President Johnson wanted to have passed. And in the hospital, he wrote his so-called dissertation against what had been done about the bill, and he had Senator Thurston Martin to deliver it. It was about tax cut proposals. And among his most amusing comments was, quote, "You can imagine my bedridden amazement, my pajama-ruffled consternation, yes, my pillow-laden astonishment this week to learn that three Republican-sponsored proposals to assist in achieving laudable goals had been defeated by a very narrow White House telephonic half-Nelson known as a Texas twist." I think that's good. And Another one is that he has often given pointers to people on how to speak. As a matter of fact, as you know, he was approached by the late John F. Kennedy when he was going to campaign for the presidency, and the good senator instructed him on how to project himself, and he is an old master at this. But I'm not sure whether he told Kennedy this or not, but he's told many of his the people who say, you know, how do you approach an audience? And he's often said, never pound on the desk too hard. You might hurt yourself. And that's been repeated many times by writers. And another one says that he has, about his 70th birthday, and about time, to him, time is irrelevant. He feels, and as you know him personally, and he acts very young. And, of course, he has a brilliant mind. But he says, time-wise, I have reached the age of 70. But idea-wise and outlook-wise, I am still 50 or less. I haven't become reconciled to the calendar because I try to keep up with the times.
Oh.
And I think that's a wonderful philosophy for everybody.
It is indeed.
Monitor reporter Betty Grobley with guest Annette Penny, author of a new book on that colorful senator from Illinois. The title, Dirksen, the Golden Voice of the Senate. Talking about golden voices, Al Martino's not doing bad at all.
Wake up to me, gentle sunrise in your hair, and just leave me there, and I'll never care. Fade away now slowly from my silence there into the morning air, and I'll never care. Only when I'm walking, breathing, thinking all of the time, you're leaving tears from me, the only thing that was mine. Wake up to me, gentle, and don't say goodbye. Tell me why, and I'll never cry.
After the Monitor Hour, and Joe Garagiola is next, right after Petula Clark sings one of her latest.
Look to the sky when it's raining. See how the clouds up above, like a heart without love, can hold the tears they're crying. Now what's the use of complaining? Why should I cry? Goodbye, and I know our love is really dying. What's done is done. I'll just go on and face the days the future brings. You have your fun. just go on and face the days the future brings. You had your fun, and now you're gone. It's time for me to spread my wings. Oh, look to the sky, and you'll see me. Free as a bird, I can roam in a dream.
Now, Monitor Sports with Joe Gargiola, brought to you by State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's largest homeowners insurance company. In 1 minute, an in-depth look at American tennis. First this from State Farm.
Hello, I'm Pat Paulson. One night I was sitting in my den trying to relax with a good book in front of a roaring fire. I found it difficult to relax because I don't have a fireplace. Considering the situation carefully, I decided to call the fire department. And I also called my State Farm agent. I called him because I have a low-cost homeowner's policy from State Farm Fire and Casualty, the world's biggest homeowner's insurer. A policy that protects my home and belongings, that covers them in case of fire, storm, theft, that protects me in the event of, perish forbid, a liability lawsuit. Soon I had a check from State Farm to cover damages. I still don't have a fireplace, but I read a lot in front of the furnace.
For your home, your car, your life, and your health. State Farm is all you need to know about insurance.
Now, here's Joe Gargiola.
If you could sum up the American tennis picture right now in terms of a weather report, you'd have to say that it was clear and bright, but with storm clouds in the distance. Last Monday in San Juan, Puerto Rico, the United States Davis Cup team defeated India 4-1. And that means that the next stop will be Adelaide, Australia, late next month, when America will challenge the defending champion, Australia, for the Davis Cup. America's hopes will rest largely on a 24-year-old Army lieutenant, Arthur Ashe. In San Juan, Ashe played in singles matches against India's top two players and defeated both of them without much difficulty. It was apparent that Ashe was at the top of his game. As for the overall tennis picture, it seems to be in good shape, too. This year, American tennis experimented with two open tournaments, and both were so successful that next year's plans are for more open tennis and more money. Seven open tournaments are planned for 1969, with prize money coming to $400,000. The first one is scheduled for Philadelphia in February, and the big one, a $100,000 tournament, is set for Forest Hills in September. All this, of course, unless those storm clouds finally break. The problem is the designation of registered players. Under the rules that govern international tennis, registered players can, in effect, be either amateurs or professionals, depending on how the mood happens to strike them. They can play in open tournaments, amateur-sanctioned tournaments, and even Davis Cup play. What it means is that an amateur can be an amateur in the Davis Cup competition, but when the prize money is put up, then he becomes a professional. The professionals who are barred from amateur tournaments have just about had it. The two groups of touring pros have both publicly stated that they will bypass all open events in the United States next year unless the registered player concept is either abolished or revised. Now, what the pros are saying, in effect, is if we're going to be the drawing cards, set aside some money as guarantees for us, win or lose. Also, give us a chance to get some of the good players on our tours. The way things are, the pro tours are the only losers. Open tennis is so successful that the amateurs are going to have to do something to keep it going. To do that, something's going to have to go. And it looks like it'll be the registered player. This is Joe Gargiola from Monitor Sports.
Thank you. on my mind. One thing you can be sure of, I'll take good care of your love if you will let me give you mine. Ladies, we'll vow it, if now or never, give your love to me and I'll show it. Well, there's so much you have to learn. And I would gladly teach you if I could only reach you and give your loving in return. Lady, 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 lady.
Roberts Orchestra and Chorus with Lady Willpower. The following word on behalf of United Community Campaigns. The community services that help children, young people, families, the elderly, and the sick, the services in your United campaign, they're supported by people all over town because they're needed. What about campaign costs? One campaign for many agencies, the United Way, keeps costs way down so that what you give goes that much further in helping people. Your one gift works many wonders, goes a long way, the United Way. When your campaign volunteer asks you, give your fair share. Orchestra saluting Highway 101. Whichever highway you happen to be on right now, the going is much more pleasant with Monitor, a familiar voice wherever you are in the USA. In the Middle West, KSD St. Louis has been serving the heartland of America since 1922. This is Brad Crandall, and there's much more of Monitor right after the station break.
Say, we're having a birthday. This is Henry Morgan inviting you to join the celebration as NBC starts its 43rd year this week.
Brad Crandall here with more of Monitor for Sunday, November 17th. I hate to surprise you, but Christmas is closer than you think. One New York department store advertised hand-cut lead crystal stemware this week. Wonderful gift idea. Price, one dozen, only $1,000. $1,000? Bob Considine coming up right after Eddie Arnold.
They just don't make love like they used to. Based on a heart so warm and true, it seems to fall apart no matter what. Just don't make love like they used to. Love just don't hold on. don't make love like they used to.
On the line with Bob Considine, brought to you by Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Had a talk the other day with a man who had a lot to do with Dick Nixon's winning of the highly important state of Illinois. I'll be back with some of his thoughts. Now here's something to remember from Mutual of Omaha.
What do you do when your pay ain't there? Where do you go in the open air? There's gotta be a way to protect it all. Gotta be a place if the snow should fall.
All of us depend on our paychecks, don't we? But what would happen if your paychecks stopped coming in? Would it mean giving up all you've worked to build? Not if you have paycheck protection from Mutual of Omaha. If sickness or accident keeps you from working, Mutual of Omaha can send you an emergency paycheck every month till you're back on the job. And you will keep getting this tax-free cash for as long as you need it, even for life, whether you're laid up in the hospital or at home. You can get this really different paycheck protection only from the man from Mutual of Omaha. You'll find him right in your own community, ready to serve you. Call him today.
For a long time, Mayor Dick Daley of Chicago has been a tough man to beat, not only in Cook County, which embraces Chicago, but also in the whole state of Illinois. This time, he lost the state for Hubert Humphrey. Dick Nixon prevailed by about 150,000 votes. In 1960, when he ran against the late John F. Kennedy, Nixon lost by 8,800 votes. He was urged to demand a recount, but refrained. Well, a man named Bill Rentschler, you may or may not know him, had something to do with that turnabout. He's a young-looking fellow who attended Princeton, became editor of the Daily Princetonian, worked 5 years professionally for the Minneapolis Star Tribune, went looking for a better-paying job, and wound up president of a nationally known candy company. He also wound up completely hooked on politics, Republican politics. Bill Rentschler, who says he doesn't want a job with the new administration, promised Nixon a long time ago that he would deliver 50 of Illinois's 58 delegate votes at the Republican National Convention, which nominated Nixon. Sure enough, he did. It was the largest block of delegate votes Nixon received. One difficulty, Rentschler told me he had during the campaign itself, was Nixon's image as a loser. Bill Rentschler made a lot of talks to the effect that other losers had been very good men, and he named Abraham Lincoln, Winston Churchill, and Adlai Stevenson to support his point. Also, in addressing Negro audiences, he said, in effect, "I know we're not going to get much, if any, support from you. But this man, Nixon, truly believes that you and other minority groups deserve a piece of the action, and you'll see, once he's elected, that you'll get it, thanks to him." P.S. Nixon got enough of the Negro vote and the normally Democratic ethnic vote to put him over in the key state of Illinois. Rentschler says that nobody except the president-elect himself can be given credit for Nixon's consistent support of President Johnson's Vietnam policy. He believes in it and said so, spiking LBJ's intended broadsides against him, whereas Vice President Humphrey had to go against the president's policy in an effort to pick up the lost legions of Senators McCarthy and Kennedy. Rentschler believes that if the race had been a week longer, Humphrey would have won. But it wasn't a week longer, and the man he worked for was the victor. He believes Richard Milhouse Nixon will make a good president because, to quote Rentschler, he is direct and undeviating. As he goes back to candy making, Rentschler's understandably proud that he was able to overcome the tremendous influence of the great mayor, Richard Daley. This is Bob Considine for Monitor, and now let's hear from Mutual of Omaha.
What do you do when your pay ain't there? Where do you go in the open air? There's gotta be a way to protect it all. Gotta be a place if the snow should fall.
We all depend on our paychecks, but what if your paycheck stops? If you have paycheck protection from Mutual of Omaha, we can send you a paycheck every month if you're sick and out of work, up to $1,000 a month. Count on Mutual of Omaha, the company that pays.
Stay right here on the NBC.
On the Monitor Beacon.
It's now 16 minutes before the Monitor Hour, and Doc Severinsen's chorus and orchestra comes up with a tune from the new Broadway musical Promises, Promises, Knowing When to Leave.
Thank you.
Still around if you look hard enough, and Monitor has been looking for them this weekend in several of their most famous big city locations. For a report from the West Coast, here's Monitor reporter Dick Shoemaker in Hollywood.
The hippies still turn out every Saturday night along Hollywood's Sunset Strip to turn on to the sounds emanating from a dozen discotheques. But these are not the hardcore hippies, not the true flower children. They are the plastic hippies. Most of them youngsters who drive from the suburbs on Saturday night and return Sunday morning to a more middle-class, mundane life. The real hippies are somewhere else, hiding either in mountain retreats or in small communities along the California coast. Ironically, the new plastic hippies are creating more of a problem than their predecessors. Here on the Sunset Strip, arrests are up 250%. The police force patrolling the streets had to be tripled. The strip once meant fashionable shops, fancy restaurants, and maybe a movie star. But with the change in clientele, property values have dropped 30%, and the strip looks a little shabby. Local citizens have asked for anti-hippie ordinances, laws making it a misdemeanor to sleep or sit on a public sidewalk. But most of those laws were declared unconstitutional. And so life on the Sunset Strip goes on, a place for people with no place to go. This is Dick Shoemaker in Hollywood.
One thing is certain, they're much harder to find these days. But then, summer couldn't last forever. Up a creek without a reservation, Dean Martin.
Wagon train of love is moving slow, and I can see the peace pipe burning low. Criticize each little thing I do, but listen, baby, I've got news for you.
There's too many chiefs and not enough Indians around this house. Baby, I'm tired of this old game we play called cat and mouse.
If you don't give just a little bit more, around this place, trouble on our happy home ground. 'Cause you keep stepping too far out of bounds. It's hard to run this reservation right. You stay on the warpath day and night. Well, there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians around this house. And baby, I'm tired of this old game we play called cat and mouse. If you don't give just a little bit more, we're both gonna lose the race. 'Cause there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians on this place. Look at all the things I have to do to keep this teepee running just for you. But times are tough and the wampum is hard to save. Just remember who's a squaw and who's well, there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians around this house.
I'm tired of this old game they call cat and mouse.
If you don't give just a little bit more, both gonna lose the race.
There's too many chiefs and not enough me
around this place.
On the Move every weekend pauses for 6 seconds right now while we switch to Los Angeles for our regular auto racing feature, World of Wheels with Keith Jackson.
Hello, everybody. Keith Jackson in Los Angeles with Wynn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Wynn's famous friction-proofing Wynn's Charge and the thousands of dealers who feature the entire family of Wynn's products that keep your car going strong. USAC Championship cars running today, Phoenix, Arizona. The battle for the USAC Driving Championship, the prime story, but there is some bad news to preface the race. 17th lap today, five-car pileup, A.J. Foyt resting at this hour in the Good Samaritan Hospital in Phoenix. Dr. John Crandall tells me his condition is satisfactory, some superficial burns, no cuts, nor internal injuries. I talked with A.J. just a few minutes ago, and this is how he details the accident.
Actually, a lot of oil got dumped on the racetrack, and I was right behind the turbine, which I was going to try to pass on the outside, going into one. And as I got off of the throttle, it let the back end. I started fishtailing because this solid oil on the racetrack. Then it got the front end into the wall, kind of climbed it, and then it spun backwards. Well, I let it stay against the wall and went straight backwards, hoping everybody could get under me. But it was all over, and then the car went down the infield, and then, or close to the bottom of the track, and then Mario Andretti drove into the side of me, and when he did that, it just exploded.
Again, thankfully, A.J. Foyt was not seriously injured, and from the emergency room tells me he plans to take part in the final race of the season, the Rex Mays 300, Riverside, California, December 1. Now let's get the story of the race finish from the Phoenix International Raceway.
Well, Keith, we're all mighty glad to hear, of course, that A.J. is in good condition. The wild one just ended here minutes ago. And as you can imagine, not too many particulars in as yet. We do know for sure that young Gary Bettenhausen, son of the great racer of yesterday, won it here today. I don't have any speeds and times for you, as I say, it just ended. But Mario was up there and took either second or third. As you know, he's up there for the USAC points battle, and they'll be coming down to it at Riverside week after next. It should be a good one. Once again, the winner of the Bobby Ball 200, Gary Bettenhausen. Now back to you, Keith.
World of Wheels will be at Riverside December 1st to report the finish of the Rex Mays 300 live here on Monitor.
Cold. Stone cold. Slow, difficult starting can kill your car's battery. Cold. Stone cold. A rigid argument for Wynn's friction proofing. Wynn's friction proofing added to your oil smooths and seals metal surfaces. Wynn's friction proofing makes starting easier, protects frigid metal parts before cold, gummy engine oil even gets moving. No need to warm up the engine before you take off. Friction proofing makes moving parts move easier. Friction proofing gets cold cars going faster. And it keeps them going. Wynn's friction proofing. The hot cup of coffee for your car on a cold, wintry morning.
First race for the 1969 NASCAR Grand National Points, Georgia 500, run today in Macon. Richard Petty, battling the flu, took the win, averaging better than 85 miles an hour over the half-mile oval. Here is Bob Lefford from the Middle Georgia Speedway to highlight the race.
Petty, driving the famed 1968 Plymouth that has carried him so many other victories, led the race on five occasions for a total of 360 of the 500 laps. Petty finished some 5 seconds ahead of Pearson, picking up $3,500 for his afternoon work, and possibly more important to him, 100 points towards the 1969 NASCAR Grand National title.
The Firestone Tire and Rubber Company here in the West introducing a new tire for passenger vehicles found wider interest in any possible changes in Firestone's attitude toward racing for 1969. The company announcing earlier this year there would be no further subsidization of racing teams, that only one contract remains in effect, that one with Mario Andretti. Firestone adds quickly that he has no measurement on what withdrawal from sponsorship of drivers and racing teams might mean and what will happen if Goodyear continues its racing subsidization. Raymond Firestone answers.
I can't answer you that because, you see, this year, they didn't rebet and we won the championship. We won the Mines. And we're going to add others. So I'll leave the same answer to your question.
To sum up the Firestone story in racing, spiraling costs stopped them. Projection had those racing costs at $14 million for 1969 and perhaps as high as $20 million over the next 2 or 3 years. They will continue to make the product, but users will have to buy. And that wraps it for this edition of Wynn's World of Wheels, brought to you by Wynn's famous friction proving, Wynn's Charge, and the entire family of Wynn's products that keep your car going strong. Ask for them by name wherever you get gas or service. This is Keith Jackson in Los Angeles, reporting for Monitor Sports.
World of Wheels is heard every Saturday and Sunday evening on Monitor. Wonder and Alfie. Time to keep up with all the people and events shaping news across the nation and around the world. NBC Monitor News on the Hour is next, so stay tuned. I'm Brad Crandall.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is a major concern. So listen for things that are happening on NBC.
In times of need, our country calls for help. Many answer the call with honor. They serve. They suffer. They sustain the greatest democracy of all times. When the battles are over, some need more than a hospital bed. Who cares? B'nai B'rith cares for the personal welfare and morale of servicemen and women in uniform and veterans in hospitals with Community and Veteran Services, a program born during the Civil War. For 125 years, B'nai B'rith has been expanding its scope, striving to elevate the standards and understanding of people throughout the world. Come help us celebrate the B'nai B'rith 125th birthday party at Madison Square Garden on December 2nd. For information, call B'nai B'rith, America's oldest voluntary service organization, 889-2410. That's B'nai B'rith, 889-2410.
Starting up with Big Wilson gets you places. The Big Wilson Show, 5 to 9 a.m. weekdays on WNBC Radio 66, New York.